you maybe can share with us where you are, or if it's intentional that you are trying to promote the participation of young people in agriculture. But we look forward to the presentation or the briefing that you will give us on the report. We've just had a very fruitful engagement with the Financial and Fiscal Commission as well as the AGSA. They have remained in the meeting. There are some questions in the earlier session that, questions, comments that came out of the presentations they gave us, which of the view were not necessarily well, I think the department is better located to respond to some of them. So, and I know that the DDGs were present in the meeting, so they did catch some of those inputs that were made, and I hope that they are ready to respond and engage on some of them. So I'll hand over to you, Minister, and then of course you'll hand over to the acting DG, Mr. Mbalo. Thanks, Minister.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Ms. Nompendulo Mkhwatshwa. Let me also greet other distinguished and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee and other participants, including members of the media. Chair, I've just finished addressing the annual general meeting of the agricultural sector. So that's why I'm wearing like this, to encourage young people to join agriculture, because without them also participating in agriculture, we have a problem.
Recording in progress.
And with that, then I'm going to take off my hat now out of respect to you, because I'm not out in the field, but I just finished addressing AgriCeta, their annual general meeting, which was a very good meeting, and also reporting a lot of very good progress. That's why I'm wearing like this chair, to try to set an example to young people. Because, by the way, I might as well just say very briefly, one of the things I was raising with the AgriCeta, it's a general problem that we are having in terms of skills transfer in the country. It's one area that I don't think we talk enough about it. For instance, in agriculture, we have got what I would call an aging group of farmers in particular. Mainly, historically, it's been white Afrikaner farmers, you know. Quite a number of them, I interact with them. They say, I'm getting old now. I'm a cattle farmer, very experienced. I'm retiring or retired. My children are not only interested to go and stay out in the farm and wear dirty, muddy boots, because they are now engineers, they are now medical practitioners. They can work not just anywhere in South Africa, anywhere in the world. By the way, I'm told that almost half of the engineers in the United Arab Emirates are South African engineers. But now they say, we don't have anyone to pass on the skills to. I meet a lot of elderly people who are saying that. One old man I know in the KZN Midlands, who run a wonderful furniture factory. They make it there in Howick. They say, give me youngsters. So I go chasing the local TVET college principal. Where are your youngsters who are doing carpentry to take them there? So this issue of skills transfer is a serious problem. The milk industry tells me that they are running out of milk artisans, because historically it's been white artisans because of where we come from, but we aren't getting enough youngsters. Hence the importance of strengthening our TVET college sector and partnership with industry and skilled people. I just thought, let me make that point. Chair, on today's meeting, we are very honored to be afforded this opportunity to present our annual report for 2021-2022 at the meeting of this, not 2021-2022, am I right? Yes, 2021-2022, the financial year. The production of annual reports by government institutions is a necessary mechanism to account on the work of government in general. It is very critical to account on the specific work undertaken during a financial year, reflecting on, amongst other things, not only on how the appropriated budget was spent, but also give a sense of what impact has that budget made in changing the lives of our people for the better. Our acting DG, Mr. Mvaro, is going to be making the presentation. I'm just making this as an introduction and context, and maybe just highlighting a few achievements, which then the acting DG is going to go into detail on. There are some key achievements I want to say of note, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Sometimes, unfortunately, these things aren't really being carried in the media in our country enough, yet they are huge achievements. For instance, the first and one of the most important achievements of this government and my Department of Higher Education and Training is student funding through the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. Funding for students from disadvantaged communities and working class in both universities and TVET colleges has increased from 21 billion rand in 2018 to 38.6 billion rand in 2021. And the total number of students funded increased from 586,763 in 2018 to 770,083 in 2021 in both universities and TVET colleges. Fine, covering a few range number of years, but it illustrates the work that we are doing even over the financial year under consideration. The 2022 budget amounts to 45 billion rand, targeting to fund 85% and 90% of eligible university and TVET college students from disadvantaged communities and working class backgrounds. Just a little bit on each sector. At university level, there are some important progress that we've made during the financial year under consideration. The process towards the establishment of two new universities, the University of Science in Ekurhuleni and the University of Crime Detection in Hammanskraal, is underway. In fact, I need to say that the report on the University of Science, the feasibility, is complete. We are just now in the process, because we want to present both of these, of finalizing the University of Crime Detection, the feasibility study. A lot of work has been done, preliminary work on the location, including the assessment of the demand and supply side mapping for each university has been undertaken. Generally, also the other important achievement, enrollment at universities, they've shown an increase from 1.085 million in 2018 to 1.094 million in 2020 academic year. And preliminary enrollment data for the 2021 academic year shows that 1.047 million students have been enrolled. It is encouraging also that 29% of the enrollments during 2020 were in science, engineering, and technology. Very important achievements by where we come from, by the standards of where we come from. Also, a total of 686,956 students graduated in public universities since 2018. Of these, 194,566 are in science, engineering, and technology. Number of doctoral graduates has also increased by 6% between 2018 and 2020. And 8 of the 10 accredited universities to offer TVET-related programs to improve the qualifications of lecturers at TVET colleges have since commenced with offering TVET programs. At TVET college level, 8 of the 13 new TVET college campuses have reached 100% completion during this financial year under consideration. That is Umsinga, Mzimkulu, Nongoma, Aliwa North, Ngungushe, Grafrenet, Tabazimbi, and Kandla A. The remaining sites of the 13, which means five of them, are at 68 to 99% complete. For the first time as a country, we have now opened 32 trade test centers in our public TVET college campuses across the country to increase access to trade testing, especially trades associated with priority trades and occupations. Remember, not so long ago, we only had one national trade center at Olifants Fontein, in Dlela Trade Test Center. Now we have 32 trade test centers in different parts of the country that we have opened. We are also making progress, by the way, on the placement of TVET college graduates. I must say that's more recent, of course, it goes into this current financial year. President committed in SONA that we need to place at least 10,000 TVET college unemployed graduates. We are already now at 6,779. In other words, we are just at about 68% already, whilst we are more or less in the middle of the financial year. At Community Education and Training, just very quickly, Chair and Honourable Members, I just need to point out that we hosted the first ever summit, which indeed we are very pleased that some of you participated as members of the Portfolio Committee in March 2022 as part of positioning our community education and training sector to move on to mass skills provision. And 200 million rand has been set aside through the NSF to assist colleges in this regard. All nine colleges now, community colleges, have functional councils. The department has also collaborated with health to build and support health and welfare service now extended to students in our community college sector. We've also improved college community education and training colleges offerings that now have been improved to include entrepreneurship and digital programs. Program offerings are no longer just about finishing your school by adults. We are now including skills, occupational, and non-formal programs. And I'm very pleased also that, by the way, we are cooperating with a number of partners, including religious organizations. For instance, the one Roman Catholic Church, they've got wonderful community education and training centers. And we are learning from them. We are working with them so that we are able to reach communities. On artisanal development and workplace-based learning programs, 78,536 artisans have received certificates in key occupational areas since 2019. This translates to 19,643 certificates per annum. We're chasing our 2030 target of producing 30,000 artisans per annum. In fact, we've gone down a bit here than the previous years in terms of 2021 because of COVID, workplaces shutting down and so on. But we are confident now that we're going to, I think at the moment, we are at over 22,000. And that we will meet our 2030 targets. In the same period under consideration, 154,969 learners completed learnerships in various sectors of the economy. We've also, I'm pleased to say, increased the apprenticeship learner grant to encourage employers who are taking apprentices from the 1st of April 2021 from 165,000 to 206,000 per learner per year to encourage employers hosting apprentices to open up their workplaces. The last issue I would like to highlight, these are highlights that I'm giving, our acting teacher is going to give details, Chair, because it's important that I do so. On student housing, which is one of our big challenges, through the infrastructure efficiency grant, we have invested in infrastructure development linked to the academic programs, student accommodation, safety and security programs, for universities and TVET colleges to the tune of over multiple billions over the years. The details are in the presentation. Student accommodation units have been built for urban and rural universities and colleges. We are confident that with, in particular, new plans we have to partner with the private sector on this score, we will be able to actually tackle the issue of provision of student accommodation. In conclusion, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the Department has developed a skills strategy during the financial year under question to support the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan launched by the President in October 2021. Whilst implementation of strategy in other way is underway, the department is also developing a countrywide master skills plan under the theme or the slogan, if you like, One Country, One Master Skills Plan. I also just need to say something before I end, Honorable Chair, relating to what you said in your opening remarks. I have had a briefing from the Auditor General. And we welcome the briefing we had. That audit notes progress in a number of areas, but also it highlights a number of challenges. And what I've decided is that I'm going to be calling a special meeting with my senior management to look at the Auditor General's findings in detail across the sectors, the department, our entities, and identify what problem. Some of the issues they identify are issues that we have already identified, like, for instance, lack of a common ICT platform, for instance, for all the CETAs and the TVET colleges, including, by the way, this challenge of having, we are having of double dipping, some students getting NSFAS bursary and also getting bursaries on the other hand. Those are issues that I want us, we have already started to tighten and come up with concrete plans. But the long and short of it is that I've now made it a habit that after every AG's report, I meet with my senior management and then say, of the three or four meetings I have with my senior management every year, the auditor said progress in addressing the AG's report is given at every meeting between myself and senior management. In other words, it's a standing item. Chair, our country has got challenges, but we are making progress, as you will see in this report. And in particular, we are very proud that the children of the working class and the poor in this country, who are predominantly Black and also increasingly women now are in the majority in our universities, for instance, continue to benefit from this program, so that we are not just doing an abstract bin counting, but we are talking about concrete positive impact that our department is making. With this then, Honorable Chair, and with your permission, the Acting DG, Mr. Mvalo, and the senior management of the department will provide specific details of our achievements. And I'm looking forward to engage with the members of the committee on the performance of the department. Though, Chair, you're possibly aware, I have also submitted an apology because I have got a prior political statement that does not meet in the afternoon. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Over then to our DG, with your permission, our acting DG, to make a presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Minister. I don't want to take inputs from members now, but I know that there are some questions that members maybe would have appreciated a political response from yourself. So I don't know, Mr. Mvalo, how we can manage time, but considering, I think Minister asked to be excused at 3:30. So I don't know how we're going to manage time, but I think it would be fair that we attempt to find, you know, an opportunity for members to engage with Minister. Maybe if it means that at around 3:00, I will have to we'll have to take a break because I see that the report has 91 slides, and I trust that members have been able to get through some of the slides. So I think I might need to ask you at 3 o'clock to pause and maybe allow for 15 minutes for members to, I mean, Minister, I'm hoping your team has sent you some of the concerns that came out of our engagements with the AG and the FFC. And maybe, you know, I'm hoping they've communicated some of them to you. But maybe at quarter past, at 3 o'clock, we'll allow for members, and I'm going to be very strict, members, 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes, a minute and a half, really, for any critical matter you may want to raise with the minister. And then, Minister, I'll afford you then about 15 minutes to respond. But I think that is the best we can do with the time limitations that we have. Over to you, Mr. Mbali.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. I must thank as well this opportunity provided to us as the department, and greeting the minister, honorable members of the portfolio committee, the special advisors to the minister, colleagues from the department, as well as parliamentary staff. We will then move, Mr. Mgiba, to the next slide. Basically, this slide, Honorable Chairperson, is an outline of the presentation that will be taken through the Honorable Portfolio Committee. It's a vision, the mission of the department, mandate of the department, overview of the post-school landscape, 5-year strategic plan outcomes, highlights of achievements of 2021-2022 financial year. I must obviously thank the minister because he has already made an illustration with regard to some of the targets, program performance against annual targets, financial performance, financial statements, action plan to improve audit findings. You can move to the next slide. Basically, that's our vision and mission. Honorable members of the committee, it has not yet changed. An integrated, coordinated, and articulated post-school system for improved economic participation and social development of our young people and adults. And the mission is to provide strategic leadership to the post-school system through development of appropriate steering mechanisms, effective oversight, monitoring and evaluation, provision of support services in relation to teaching and learning, which in the main is the core business of us as the post-school education and training system, funding of post-school institutions and entities. This is the mandate. What I can only relate in this light, Honorable Chairperson, is the supply and demand side. We'll see on the supply side that we must serve a growing number of young people and adults, especially the unemployed in our country and those who are not in employment, education, or training, provide different entry points and pathways through the learning system, and show quality learning wherever learning takes place. On the demand side, very critical, Minister just indicated the master skills plan amongst others, because we have to identify the skills needed to drive our country's economic growth and social development. Availability of quality skills will enhance both investment as well as service delivery. This is our landscape, of which is well knowledgeable to the members of the portfolio committee. I won't go through this slide except to mention there we're identifying all our institutions as well as entities. We might be the department in the country with so many institutions and entities. These are our key strategic thrusts or outcome for the period of 2019 to 2024, of which we're expected in each and every target to be aligning with these key strategic outcomes. To improve access to post-school opportunities, quite very critical and central to the work that we're undertaking as the department. To improve success and efficiency of the post-school system, to improve the quality of the post-school provisioning, to improve the responsiveness of the post-school system and business operations within the department. As I think Minister was earlier on alluding to the fact that we need an integrated information management system that will be able to deal amongst other things which were identified in the AG's report, double dipping, as well as linking up with other systems, whether it's Department of Employment and Labor, Department of Home Affairs, as well as other very important variables that we must be in liaison with or in connection with. Well, I should think, Mr. Mkima, we can leave seven. Minister spoken at length, and eight you can leave, and nine you can leave as well. 10 you can leave. You can leave 11 as well, because basically here it's about international scholarships that we are having as the country in various countries international, especially Russia, China, and Hungary. Here we just showing in this slide the number of targets that we have had for the year under review or the year ended 31st March 2021. We have had 123 targets during the year under review, of which we have achieved 83 of them or 67% and not achieved 40 of them or 33%. In the next few slides, then we'll be going through in various programs of the department. And I must mention, Honorable Chairperson, that I'm not going to get into much detail, especially with regard to those areas of achievements, but only in those areas where there is non-achievement. In program one, which is administration, as we see there, we had about seven targets. Number of targets that we have achieved were five targets, and targets that we have not achieved were two targets. Our request then, Giba, to go to non-achievement. Slide 17 is showing us those targets that are not achieved during the year under review. Target number one, 100% of valid invoices received from creditors paid within 30 days. They will see then the actual performance. 99% of valid invoices received from creditors were paid within 30 days. And the reasoning there is also explained under the reason for deviation, a prolonged power failure at the CETA resulting in the system downtime, expiring supply contract on logist system, variances between voice and order not resolved in time, and incorrect bank details on the central supplier database contributed to some payments not made within 30 days as expected. And then we can just indicate on the last column is a progress to date that the performance obviously remained at 99%. Number two, 98% of network connectivity uptime per annum. We'll see the 97.5, which is not so far from 98%. CETA data center power outages and breakages of fiber linking Centurion data center. So there is a plan, we must also indicate honorable members, to extend the rollout of SARN connectivity across the department. We are investing in cloud-based services for which a cloud-first policy has been prioritized and approved by the Department of Public Service and Administration. Then we continue, and obviously now with the planning policy and strategy, we had 12 targets for the period under review, of which we achieved 9. We could not achieve 3 of those targets. Let's go. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mkiba. Target number one, monitoring report on priority skills approved by the minister by 31st March 2022, of which that report on priority skills was only approved by the Director General on 30 March 2022, not by minister as planned. The department, obviously, at the time was still waiting for the finalization of process, especially at NEDLEC. But then we can indicate now that since then, The minister has approved the skill strategy to support the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. Number two, two new agreements for international scholarships are signed per annum, and no new agreements were signed during the period under review. There was a delay in finalizing the agreements due to travel restrictions caused by COVID-19 global pandemic. Progress up to date, the memorandum of understanding between South Africa and the government of Hungary, an international scholarship agreement has been signed between South Africa and France. A report on the implementation of multifaceted student accommodation strategy approved by the Director General on 31st March 2022. The actual achievement there, a report on the implementation of the multifaceted student accommodation strategy was not developed. Reasons for deviation, the development of multifaceted student accommodation strategy is linked to the establishment of the IDSU. Funding has not been secured for IDSU. A lack of technical resource team. The Director General has since approved the submission to appoint implementation agents assist the Department in Infrastructure Management. Then this is Program 3, Honorable Members, dealing with the university education. We will see here that we have about 25 targets for the period under review, of which 17 were achieved. And then 8 were not achieved, and then we shall deal with those which were not achieved. Number one, a draft proposed fee regulation framework approved by the Minister for consultation by 31st March 2022. Actual, a proposed fee regulation framework was developed and submitted to the Minister November 2021. Reasons for deviation. A fee regulation framework was being reviewed by our minister, and progress to date, the work on the qualification offerings and the fee data requirements has not been finalized, as MS data must still be confirmed for two institutions. Proposed framework for the new student funding policy submitted to the minister for approval for consultation by 31st March 2022. The actual there we see proposed funding framework for student policy was developed and approved by the Director General on 27 March 2022. Ministerial task team was still working on the identified areas of improvement of the proposed framework. The MTT was finalized and submitted to the minister to the cabinet. The minister will report back to the cabinet by November 2022. Then this one is a feasibility study to establish nature and the scope as well as the location of the new institutions in Ekurhuleni Metro submitted to the minister for approval by 31st March 2021. The minister has also spoken with regard to this when he was sharing his highlights. We can move to the next slide then. Approved service agreements and non-disclosed agreements with 6 universities and 9 TVET colleges to use CAS by 31st March 2022. We see there the actual 19 service level agreements and or non-disclosed agreements were signed with universities, 5, and TVET colleges, 14, to utilize the CAS pilot system. The Safako Makgato University has made changes to the final disclosure given to legal services for inputs agreement, and these changes have not been given to legal services for inputs. This matter was followed up with the Safako Makgato in July 2022, and engagements are continuing. SMU took part in the piloting of applications for 2023 academic year. And then we see the 40 doctoral scholarships allocated to universities through the University Staff Doctoral Program, USDP, for award to permanent instructional or research staff members. And then you see the 43 awards for institutional or research staff members were recommended for the USDP opportunity. The submission for approval was processed late to the human resource due to human resource constraints. And progress up to date, approval was granted for the recommended candidates and the funds were released to the host universities. Successful universities were notified, and implementation of activities underway, of course. 50 awards made to permanent instructional or research staff at university to participate in the future professors program. Then you see the actual achievements there was 29. Obviously, due to the effects of COVID-19, adjustments had to be made in implementation of the projects and the mission process had to be undertaken through two stages. Progress up to date, we see there that for 2022-23 financial year, the number of awards targeted is 25. This will be the third cohort since the inception of the program, and to date, 26 candidates have been recommended for phase one, cohort three. Three CLTS supported annually, then you see there it's zero. Funding to support the CLT could not be dispersed due to pending approval by the National Treasury. The Setswana Center for African Language Teaching at the Northwest University was not supported. The implementation of the establishment of Xhosa card at UWC is progressing well. The establishment of cards is no longer a target. Norms and standards for PSET student housing approved by the Director General for submission to the Minister for publication as policy by 31st December 2021. The actual deal was that norms and standards for PSET student housing were not developed and approved by the Director General as planned. Then if you look down the progress to date, the Director General approved the submission to appoint the implementation agents to assist the Department Infrastructure Management. Then we'll be having, especially in TVET as well as skills, what we refer as well as system performance. At some point, we are referring to it as consolidated indicators. So basically, these are system performance targets which are relating in the main from our institutions, the targets that we set for our institutions. There, the target was 17, of which the achievement was 11. And not achieved was 8. We'll see the very first one. There is 10,600 graduates in natural and physical sciences annually. The actual target there is 9,642. The underachievement could be due to COVID-19 pandemic, as many of the students require will before they can graduate. Perhaps I must also make an illustration at this point. That when we refer to COVID-19, especially if we look into our universities, our TVET colleges, we report in terms of the academic year. So by implication, it will be your 2020 as such. So then that is why then, therefore, it was in the midst of COVID-19 global health pandemic that you could not achieve some of these targets. There is a year lapse. Because we must have the information audited before we can report in our TVET colleges, universities, to an extent as well in our CETA system. 14,000 master's graduates. Then we'll see there that the achievement was 12,922. Then obviously the impact is the same. The department is on course to achieve the target in the next financial year. 14,700 graduates in engineering annually, and then we see there also that the actual achievement was 12,652. Reasons, obviously, are the same reasons. Okay, move to the next slide. Then this is TVET, which is program 4. You'll see the number of targets there were 17, achieved 14, not achieved 3. Then we shall deal with those which we did not achieve. Okay, the very first one there, 5% annual increase in the number of students placed in the workplace for experiential learning annually. The actual target there is the total number of students placement decreased from 9,094 in 2020 to 9,061 in 2021. And then we'll see as well that our reasons are very much relating to COVID-19 global pandemic. Number two, final governance standards for TVET college councils approved by the minister by 31st March 2022. The final governance standards for TVET college councils were not developed as planned. A reason for deviation being that the development of governance standards were deemed ultra vires by the state legal advisor. This target has since been withdrawn. Okay, final framework and guidelines to accommodate students with disabilities approved by the minister by 31st March 2022. The final framework and guidelines to accommodate students with disabilities was developed but not approved by the minister at the time of reporting. But then if you look into progress, up to date, we'll see subsequently the framework was approved by the minister on 5 May 2022. Then as I referred earlier on, consolidated, we referred to them as well as to system targets. There were 13, of which 6 were achieved, 7 not achieved. Then we shall go to non-achieved ones. 610,000 student enrollment at TVET colleges annually. Then we see the achievement there is 452,277. Reasons obviously are more or less the same with regard to COVID-19 global health pandemic. And then we can indicate that to the department. Can you go back again? The department is on course to achieve the target in the next academic year. The number two, there's 310,900 TVET college students receiving funding through NASFAS bursaries annually. The number there actual was 265,747. Then obviously that was related to the same challenge of COVID-19 global health pandemic. So we see there on the progress up to date, 256,747 is the final audited figure reported for the 2021 financial year. Okay, 370,880 college students completing N6 qualification annual. We see there the actual number is 57,245. I know when the minister was speaking earlier on, I was speaking about the workplace-based learning opportunities. So it means then, therefore, we've got that huge number which must still be placed in workplace-based learning opportunities so that they can get their diplomas because now they've completed their N6 in various programs there. A reason it will be related, obviously, to COVID-19 global health pandemic. And then the department is on course to achieve the target in the next academic year. Then it will be NCV level 4 there. The target was 13,286, of which achievement is 12,507. That's also to indicate, because those are the learners who have exited NCV level 4. By implication, it means then, therefore, we need placement as well for them to be placed. So the president's commitment in SONA in the main is relating to 3 and 4, because these are the areas that we impress upon to get work placement for our TVET learners. We can move to the next slide. 38% throughput rate of TVET NCV programs. You see there, 36.6, that is the achievement. Then obviously that was due to COVID-19 global health pandemic. As you know, that there was impact in teaching and learning in our institutions during that academic year. Then TVET colleges offering 4th Industrial Revolution aligned skills training. We shall see there that 10 TVET colleges have been identified to be established as centers of excellence. However, they were not yet ready to offer FOIR aligned skills training as establishment process was still underway. But then I must report, if you look into progress to date, the target has been changed to report on the students receiving 4-hour skills training in our colleges. 98% TVET college lecturer staff appropriately placed in industry or in exchange programs, which that is quite very critical as well, to ensure that our college lecturers are exposed in industries so that you are not having learners are being placed in the industry and then they are being exposed to new tools, equipment and machinery, and our lecturing staff is not exposed. But then you see there is 2.2% achievement, reasons obviously due to COVID-19 as well. Can move? Yes. This will be a skills development program. We see the number of targets were 11, targets achieved were 6. We shall go to those ones not achieved, the 5 of them. We targeted 103,750 learners for placement in WPL programs. The achievement was 78,317. Also, that was as a result of COVID-19 global pandemic. And I must also mention, in 21st April, the president announced a skills leave holiday, of which we lost a revenue of about 8 billion in that financial year alone. We see the number 147,000 learners registered in skills development programs annually, and the target was not achieved at 41,885. Also, that was with regard to the implications of COVID-19. The third one, 21,500 learners entering artisanal programs annually. Then the actual achievement there was 10,302. Then obviously during the same period, we had a challenge whereby there were a series of lockdowns. And then we must indicate that the department is on course towards achieving the set performance targets. 19,500 artisans found competent annually. We see also the achievement there was 15,107. And then it's, what is exciting there, you'll see that more than 75% of those were found competent or passed their trade test are young people, of which those are good news for all of us. So the target was not achieved, obviously, due to COVID-19. Number five, 30,650 learners completed learnership annually. Also, that number was 24,136. Also, we had some challenges with regard to COVID-19. Then there's relating much as well to our system targets, were two and achievement was zero there. 98,908 learners who completed skills programs annually, that was our target. Then the actual achievement there was 49,804. 95% of sitters that meet a standard of good governance, the target was not achieved as the information was made available in the second quarter of 2022-23. Program six, that's community education and training, we see there 15 targets, 14 targets were achieved, one not achieved. Then that was, these are consolidated indicators for the CET system. We see a number of programs and qualifications offered in CET colleges increased. Annual target two, and then it was five, the actual achievement. Good news there. Also within the CET, 220,549 of students enrolling at our CET colleges annually. We see the achievement there is 142,538. The sector is unable to diversify its programs due to lack of fiscal resources, inadequate funding for CET colleges, lack of fiscal and ICT infrastructure, poor uptake of responsive and diversified programs under staff colleges. The department is currently obviously collecting and analyzing the enrollment data for the 2021 academic year. I know there is a lot of support now for our CET sector from NSF and other sources, especially CETAs. 38,814 of CET college students completing GTC level 4 annually. The target was not achieved at 22,764. And then you see the progress to date, October-November examination still to be written. 60,000 CET college students completing grade 12 annually, of which the report, the actual target there is that is covering enrollments and not of grade 12 completion after enrollments. That should be the last one. Now, I will invite now the acting CFO, Mr. Kins Lucian. He is with us to take us through the financial information. As we'll be going through also here, we'll be able to get the Auditor General's report, the outcomes, as you know that the department has achieved unqualified audit opinion, as well as irregular expenditure, and then we shall also see there the status with regard to what is the department doing where there is an irregular expenditure incurred during the financial year under review. So the status is just ensuring that the members of the Honorable Committee are well exposed as to with regard to the work that we are doing, as well as the audit action plans that we are implementing as a department. As we think towards the end, we'll also see that all those action plans that we have identified in all various programs within the department, we've set a target of January 2023 that all those actions or activities must have been completed by that time. If it's in order with you, Honorable Chairperson, I shall then now invite Mr. Keynes to take us through on financial information.
Thank you, Acting Gigi, and a very good afternoon to you, Honorable Chairperson, the Honorable Members, Minister, and esteemed colleagues. You can go to the next slide. What I'll be doing is just taking us through the annual report, and it pertains basically to three reports, which is the report from the accounting officer, the report from the...
Myself, Chair. Oh, okay. I was asking Mr. Gerrans to introduce himself and what is in the department.
Okay, and maybe, I don't know if on your side, okay, I can see on my side the camera's on. All right, you may go ahead, Mr. Is it Kearns? How's it pronounced?
Yes, thanks, Jay. Yeah, it's pronounced Kearns. My name is Lucien Kearns. I'm the Chief Director for Supply Chain Management, but in the period I'm acting now as CFO, as she's abroad currently, Chair. So hoping that introduction suffices, Chair. Thanks. And apologies for not introducing.
Thanks, Mr. Kearns. Thanks, Honorable Itzia, for that. We did not receive a minister and acting DG. We did not receive an apology in relation to the CFO. So hence, I think there was a concern when Mr. Kearns then took over. But you may continue.
Thanks, Jay. Yes, I was just capturing that the annual report comprises of the three reports, basically, which is the report of the accounting officer, the report of the audit committee, and of course, the report from the auditor general. And it pertains also to the financial statements, which is inclusive of its appropriate statements, attachments, and inclusions. So what I'll be doing, Chairperson, is just taking a brief touch on these three reports and then also reflect on the action plan, as well as the DG indicated the irregular expenditure slide. So for the audit, for a report from the accounting officer, it basically speaks to a summary of the financials, affairs of the department, and also gives an overview of significant events, policy decisions, and then spending trends, as well as the performance of the branches for the year under review. It further includes a narrative on services, capacity constraints, as well as organizational arrangements alongside corporate governance, and it can be found in the report pages 178 to 207. The report on the audit committee, it reflects also and expresses the views on the effectiveness of internal controls, the quality of in-year and monthly as well as quarterly reporting. And then it also gives an evaluation of financial statements as well as operations of the internal audit and the risk management of the department. The information in the report is basically based on the audit committee, which has expressed its satisfaction for the content and the quality of both the interim and the annual financial statement. There has, however, been concern they expressed about some of the performance information that requires improvement. The committee has also expressed concern about weaknesses in the systems, of especially as it pertains to internal control measures. So these concerns have been raised in the action plans, and in some cases they have just not been effective and timely implemented. However, the Audit Committee did accept the conclusion of the Auditor General on the financial statements, and the report is also on pages 208 to 209 of the annual report. As it pertains to the report on the Auditor General, in addition to what was also expressed earlier by the AG, it is also contained in pages 210 to 13 of the annual report, and as the acting DG had alluded, the department did receive an unqualified audit opinion also regarding to the financial statements. And as I said also, there were material findings pertaining to the usefulness and reliability of performance information. And I think on the report it is expressed in page 211 pertaining to lecture placement, where it expresses that slide. This slide purports the current appropriation statement, Chair and members. As you can see, the final appropriation is 116.9 billion, and the expenditure was 116.4 billion. So it represents underspending of 0.4% of the total budget for the year under review. The detail also of this program of economic classification is also in the annual report on pages 215 to 239. Slide. This particular slide expresses the spending per program, and as you can see on the seven programs that we have listed there, it gives some indication of what was the appropriation, the actual expenditure, the variance, and also then the variance expressed in percentage. Maybe just on two items, I think the administration, the 8% pertains mostly to compensation of employees. I think those are funded but not full post. And I think the next one is, the highest one is on the CET, which is basically the standardization of CET lecturers that has not been finalized. I think that's a PPN. Next slide. This slide again gives the expenditure per economic classification, and as I've expressed also there are the classifications as well as the appropriations. The actual expenditure, the variance also expressed in percentage. Like I said, it's a 0.4% of a variance. Slide. Next slide. Thank you. What we've done in these next, the next slide is to just give you sort of an indication of the reasons for the variances. So for compensation of employees, it was an amount of 450 million. And there, like I've said, it's basically the natural attrition, unfilled vacancies, and the late implementation of the PPN, the post-provisioning norms for the colleges that gave reason for that. And then that's the 4 point, I think we said it's 4.7%. On the goods and services, so that's the one we said is about a 2.2% deviation, and that's basically, slow operational expenditure, mainly due to the COVID-19. And also the savings that we accrued there was because we had gone into the virtual platform, so it saved us on traveling and printing and stationery. Then the transfers, so that basically is also on par, so there was really 0% almost there. But I think the biggest was the payment for capital assets, which I think was a 44.4%, and this was mainly accrued to software procurement as well as hardware procurement. I think the markets really was exhausted because of the COVID-19, and we still experienced the lag of it,
In terms of delivery of laptops, etc., I think most, not only public sector, but also private, has really been going out to procure these type of items so that it really caused delay on it. You can go to the next slide. On the next slide, we just pitched on the top 10 goods and services that we procure. Top being, like we've indicated, the computer services. There really was a high demand for that, moving into that space. And it was followed by operating payments and then operating leases. Those two constitute the top three spending of the department. On the next slide, here we've given you an indication of the transfers and subsidies. I think the FFC had also alluded to some of these figures. On universities, we're spending the 43 billion, and I think then also the NSFAS or NSFAS being the second highest on 38.6. But you can see it totals there about 87.5 billion rand, which is the magnitude of the transfers and subsidies. The following slide just gives an indication of the expenditure that we had for in respect of COVID-19 for the year under review. So it was about just over 400,000 rand. This slide, yes, thanks. So the impact that it really had no negative impact on our operations. But we really tried to...
Mr. Kearns, apologies for that. Yes. I need to pause the presentation for some time. I know we're near the end. However, not close enough considering the time limitations we have. So at this point, I'd like for us to just pause on this on this slide 68, and then I'd like to just members, and really I'm going to have to be very stern in terms of time. I'll literally keep a stopwatch in front of me for us just to. I trust, Minister, that your team has been able to update you with some of the concerns that came out of our engagement in the morning. And there are a few other matters that members may want to raise that perhaps needs, you know, warrants perhaps an engagement specifically with the minister. There are others, colleagues, of course, that we can continue with the with officials from the department. But I'd like to take a round of questions that, or inputs or engagements or comments that perhaps we may want to share with the minister. Can I note hands, please? Honourable Borshoff, Honourable King. Okay, Honourable Borshoff, I'll take you in the meantime. I can't hear you, Honourable Borshoff. Okay, Honourable Borshoff, you're on my side. Your mic's not moving. Can I just double check that it's not my? I don't know whose network it is.
Honourable King, can you hear? What about touching him? It's him. We're busy with him.
No sabotage on Honourable Borshoff. Honourable Borshoff, you're protected. Honourable King, let's come to you. Then Honourable Borshoff, please log off and on again.
Okay, Chairperson, and good afternoon, Minister. It's good to have you on the platform. I just have one question. I just would like to know when exactly will we be furnished the ministerial task team report on the student funding model going forward. That's the only question I have for the Minister.
Thank you, Honourable King. Honourable Mananiso.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me start by actually welcoming the presentation from the Honourable Minister, and one must say that indeed it is important to champion skills development on issues of agriculture, because we have seen during COVID that it's one of the sectors that, with disaster or not, you would need to have food security. Minister, I want to just indicate to yourself that we are very dissatisfied about the tendencies in our CETA, for instance, in terms of good ethics on issues of good governance. There's too much reluctancy there, Minister, in our CETAs. And I think what needs to be done is to get a program of action with regards to the recommendation by the FFC and as well the Auditor General with specific timeframes from yourselves. And we would want as well to get the report in terms of all the status quo with regards to issues of investigations in our CETAs and specifics on actually what could be the criminal elements that have been taken place in our specific CETAs. And lastly, Minister, my issue is with regards to the behavior that those that are being assigned to execute SCM. I think in all these departments that are under the head, it is important that we take a look in terms of what is actually happening. I mean, you can't have people who are not compliant in terms of what the PMFA describe or give as prescription to those who are executing issues of procurement. So I think would need your speedy intervention. Thank you. Chair, am I? Chairperson?
You are saying you'll need his speedily intervention?
Yes. On issues that has to do with administration that is happening, and because of you have noted through the Auditor General report, in some of the spaces, this thing it is organized. For reference sake,
thank you, Honourable Manani. So yeah. I have to cut you off. A minute and a half for all of us. Okay, thank you, sure. Honourable Manani. So Honourable Ifie.
Thank you very much. Just one issue. Good afternoon, Minister. I think all other colleagues were on the platform. Thank you for your opening earlier on. Minister, earlier on, AG gave us a report that did not look good, especially on our CETAs, namely on double dipping, on people who are not supposed to be benefiting from the CETA program, benefiting certain number of under 15s, certain number of over 65s, 11 of them who are declared dead, many of them who Home Affairs did not have their IDs and all of these things. Now, before we'd raise this issue with the department, but I think want to raise it with you with the political leadership of the department to assist this department, especially on the more than 10,000 young people who would have benefited across different cities. And we made an example there, monetary, we put it into money terms so that the department don't say they don't have money to implement what we are asking them to implement. We're using the minimum of this CETAR, the minimum stipend, which is 1,500, excluding management fees and all other things. Sorry. 10,000 of them would be 15 million rands every month and 180 million rands per year. So it's a huge amount of money which we can afford to implement what we're proposing. So we're proposing to you, Minister, to give political leadership in the skills development branch by asking the skills development branch to procure an integrated information.
Thank you.
It's not even 1 minute.
That last sentence, are you on 2 minutes now? That last sentence, an integrated?
Almost 2 minutes now. Integrated management system that will be able to track all of these things and, if possible, avert potential criminal network that may be happening there. Thank you very much. Chair, it was 1 minute. It's only 2 minutes now. 15 minutes.
It was 2 minutes. Thank you, Honorable Ifie. Honorable Chirwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's going to be a tough run to sum everything up in 2 minutes. Nonetheless, Minister, you know, first of all, my problem is the non-responsiveness of yourself, first as a minister, and also the departments that you're leading and the entities as well, right? We sent you a letter on the 5th of May this year. To date, you have not responded. This is about two girls who were excluded because of an issue that NSFAS made. And this, even today, it has not been resolved. We've reached out to NSFAS now about responding. Because you have affirmed that kind of behavior and your department and everybody else who's in the entities, who's in the executive, who is leading the department that you're leading, are also following suit in that kind of behavior because they learn it and they see it from you. Because there's no consequence that emanates from that kind of behavior. And second to that, in the NSF, 5 billion, please clarify it. There's gruesome corruption, theft, crime, cash heist, an actual fact that's happening in your entities, in your departments, and it's either you are enabling them or you're protecting them, especially with the NSF, as you've proven even to Parliament, which are willing to protect criminals who are stealing money that's not meant to empower the young people of this country. And I say you're enabling it because, for instance, in the Rama laptop in 2020, right? NSFAS then was centralized for NSFAS to handle it. The second tender or each department is the centralized payment system, which is to replace payment systems used by universities, right? And then the third tender Puma, that also affirms the fact that you enable corruption and mismanagement of funds. Without you strengthening these same entities, you then give them more responsibility to handle more funds. In that of the issuing of tenders for student accommodation, inviting property developers to apply for takeoff agreements to provide student accommodation at universities and colleges. Firstly, how are these decisions aligned to universities' operation plans? And secondly, how do you give NSFAS more responsibilities with handling of issues of funds and removing middlemen, knowing very well that there's a crisis of management of funds in your entities and in other departments as well that are associated to trickling down the money in your department? And this particular issue, I have an issue with because there is actual crime happening in your department. And you're not saying anything about it. Mau respond when I mean it's so selling about double dipping without even giving it a political context. Why there's double dipping? NSFAS doesn't cover most of the funds. Bursary don't cover most of the funds as well. Hence, students have to double dip in most instances. But when, as a minister, you are ill-informed even on that particular matter, and you're not even clarifying it within other instances, this
Thank
is the situation.
Same,
honestly. Minister, please, next time, come on time and stay throughout the meeting. You undermine the chairperson and undermine the committee as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Mahlatsi.
Thank you very much, Chair. I thought you would assist us in terms of the tone that we're using in the committee because the rules of the House apply here, even the committees, that when honorable members address each other, especially on issues that are unparliamentary, they will use the proper language in terms of addressing matters, but I'm not there now. Chair, I just wanted to ask the Minister, based on the Auditor General's report that we're dealing with earlier this morning, part of the challenges, Minister, is capacity of TVETs in as far as your finance as well as supply chain. Partly, AG has requested that if we were to make meaningful contribution in assisting this particular TVET, we will mainly focus in that particular space to make sure that we capacitate these particular entities, especially TVET. Because unfortunately, their state of performance in as far as your financial statements is a very, I won't say it's appalling, but it's not at a good level or at good standard. Therefore, there is a need to really reinforce that particular space and making sure that we capacitate our TVET. Secondly, Minister, TVETs are not accountable, but they do not use the PFMA because they are not Schedule 3 entities. Therefore, a PFMA does not apply to them. Unfortunately or fortunately, they use the CET policy in order to develop their own policies or frameworks for auditing purposes and financial management. Therefore, they do not have a uniform system that can be used by all TVETs. Each and every TVET decide what to do and when and how. Therefore, making it difficult to have a uniform program in as far as auditing is concerned. How then do we make sure that we will have a proper auditing system, I mean, or financial system, or a policy that will regulate TVEs in making sure that they have a formula that they are using holistically as TVEs, because their audit outcomes are quite bad, but they are informed by that particular witness of capacity within finance. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mashati. Indeed, like a whip, you tried to stick to the 2 minutes. Let me check on Honorable Bosho.
Honorable Chair, I hope I'm audible this time around.
Yes, we can hear you, Honorable Bosho.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honorable Minister. I want to know on this ministerial task team on the more sustainable footing for student finance, if the minister can bring us maybe or take us into his confidence about where he stands with that. This morning, I responded to the FFC when it said that there should be a more sustainable basis for student finance. And when I asked about it, they said that the ministerial task team or nobody else approached the FFC as such to contribute in this regard. And well, my thought would be that it would be a logical institution to consult. But I wonder if the minister could maybe just bring us up to speed with that. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Borshoff. Minister, those are then the pressing issues from members. I think there's much more that they would have liked to engage you on. And so it's unfortunate that you have to leave us, and we would not have wanted to interrupt the presentation from the department in order for us to have our moment of engagement with you. But I think it was important, honorable members, that key political issues be addressed by the minister. I know there's more we would have wanted to engage on, but we are hoping, minister, that we will see you again when we engage. On Friday, we are engaging with entities of DHET. Next week, we are with DSI, and then we are with its entities as well. And we are hoping to see you throughout all these engagements. But let me hand over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and to Honorable Members for the questions and comments. Let me just make some preliminary remarks, Chair. Firstly, Honorable Chira, I'm not going to bother to respond to her because she basically was insulting me. And I would have expected that as a member of parliament, I don't get abused by another member of parliament without her being called to order. And making very wild allegations that she can't prove if challenged. I would have expected you, Chair, to please protect me from this series of insults and unfounded allegations. We know that you can't call someone corrupt and all that without a substantive motion. And we are allowing Honorable Chair to actually say these things.
Sorry, Honorable Minister. Honorable Chair, what is the point of order?
My point of order is the minister saying that he won't respond to me, primarily when I raise the issue of him not responding to me generally. And secondly, I didn't call him corrupt. I said there is corruption and crime happening in the department that he's leading. And if there's an allegation, why is he not saying that PAG, Maishawan Jalo, Bati Bonamazo investigated, they will look
at
me? Why am I the one who's not allowed to say with me there's corruption and theft happening in his department? And
thank
that should
you,
not mean that the minister must not respond to me because I'm also part of this committee and you should respond
thank
to me because
you.
I ask
thank
questions
you,
and you're obliged as well to also engage me as a member
of the committee. Oh, President, we can't be subjected to abuse by Chira.
Honorable Chirwa, honorable members, honorable minister. Honorable Litsie, your network is delayed. Honorable Chirwa, we colleagues will have to, luckily these meetings are recorded. And minister, your concern, considering the fact that Honorable Chirwa has called you a thief or we'll have to look into those allegations through the recordings. But I'd like to plead with us, colleagues, to afford this engagement with utmost respect and decorum in order for us to deal with the important issues that are being dealt with here. But we do know, Minister, and I want to acknowledge the concern around matters of Honorable Chira referring to anyone as a criminal or a thief. I mean, there's no evidence of such, and therefore you can't say that Honorable Chira. But if you are saying you did not allude to that, I can't engage on now, colleagues. We will have to go back to the recording of this particular engagement and address it in the next meeting, which is on Friday. You may continue, Minister.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair, and for that leadership and guidance on this matter. So I'm not going to bother then about this diversion and antics of the EFF. I'm going to focus to deal with all the other members who raised their issues constructively.
Minister, if I may, if there are matters that Honorable Chirwa was just in raising, please do attempt. I mean, you don't have to respond to matters that relate to the particular point of contention where we are saying we'll address it on Friday, having listened to the recording. Yeah. But let's try and engage on that of which was just in being raised. If there's nothing, then we will wait until Friday, Minister. Thank you.
Chair, I just want to say that I wish to dismiss with the contempt it deserves that I'm aiding any corruption in my entities. That would be my response to Honorable Chira, and to say that I'm doing the best as a minister to make sure that I confront corruption and that I do the work as is expected. On the matter of the NSF, Chair, for the record, I want to say that this matter is before SCOPA right now. And I will be going back to SCOPA to deal with this matter. And I've also been in the public arena to clarify a lot of things that have been said about the fact that I'm hiding information. There's no information that I'm hiding. The report of the NSF forensic is with SCOPA and with the Hawks, which are dealing with them as is. In fact, we've even laid charges with the Hawks and the police. And when I present the report at SCOPA, I will present the report as is. All what I had asked for, since this is being asked, was that we were in the process of dealing with staff members in the first instance who are being implicated in the report. And I raised with SCOPA that we have not yet done that. And therefore, I've got difficulties in the report and their names just coming out in public, having not informed them. SCOPA said they don't accept that. I respect the decision of SCOPA, but as a minister, I have a duty and responsibility to follow the law. And the rights of workers that we struggled for in this country over decades, that if you are accused doesn't mean you are guilty. And that due process is very important. That is why I'd asked SCOPA to handle the report with care. I thought that I just needed to explain that it's important that we respect the rights that we've fought for in this country that we have now. So that is all what I was asking for. Now, SCOPA decided that, no, they are unhappy about that. We have separation of powers. If Parliament decides to take its own decisions, I'll respect that. But as a minister, I will have to follow what I believe is in the interest of due process. But I'm still going to go back to SCOPA. I've even said also, Chair, offered this, that I will give the report to you as well, as this portfolio committee, and so that you are actually able to get and give you an update as well on what we have done. I think, in fact, it's very unfair for me, to me, that I'm being accused of hiding, when in fact I think I should be getting kudos for having acted and reached this stage within 6 months of a forensic report having been released. You go to many other similar instances and how long some of these have actually taken. I'm very proud of what I've done. Follow the law, but be firm against corruption at the same time. That is how I can go with the matter of the NSF report. Now, the other thing, Chair, that I was going to say to you is that whilst respecting the fact that you had a discussion this morning, I have not as yet been briefed by my team as to what transpired this morning, because I've been in meetings for the whole day, including now. I was joining you. I had just finished, literally 2 minutes before I joined, in addressing the AgriSita AGR. So I've not been briefed. Now, if I've not been briefed, it may be difficult for me to answer specific questions, because I don't know what you raised as committee members and what my staff said. And I don't want to second guess having not been briefed. So insofar as matters related to that, my answer is a general one, which I presented at the beginning of my input. But insofar as the Auditor General's report are concerned, I have called, set a meeting, a special MMM, Ministers Management meeting, to discuss fully the AG's report. That's all I can say, including all the matters that honorable members are raising and legitimately concerned about. I'm not saying you are not. You are legitimately, and rightly so, you should be. I am going to discuss the issue of double dipping, honorable Letsia. We are raising very vital points. I was briefed, by the way, by the Auditor General in full. The issue of certain names being trained by various sitters, but it's the same people. 15-year-olds, you know, and all that. I'm not going to leave anything. When I meet with my senior management, I'm going to say, let's go through, and also go to specific sitters, by the way. Because also, I think it is important that, much as the report doesn't look good, the Auditor General, it's not all the sitters who are actually implicated in some of this work. Some of the sitters have done great work, by the way. I'm willing to put my block on the head. They've done great work in terms of training, in terms of giving our young people opportunities, and in supporting workplace training. But where the sitters are being pointed for having been involved in what seems to be malfeasance, I will be talking and engaging my management. Maybe, Chair, if you allow me to leave it generally at that, at any stage, you can then be able to call us and say, Minister, 4 or 5 months ago, whenever you would want to, you promised that you were going to meet with your staff and engage on the AG's report. I'm happy to come back and give an update on how far we've gone, what we've decided, and so on. I'm not averse to actually accounting to the committee. So I think that those matters relating to the discussions earlier, I can respond to them only in this general manner, whilst respecting and understanding the issues, the questions that you are raising are those that I'm going to take up with my management, because I wasn't in the meeting this morning. And also, Chair, I would like to say, it's not out of disrespect when I request and say that I've got other commitments. Chair, you know, you are very busy as a committee. We are also very busy in the executive. So always we are negotiating in between myriads of commitments. But on my side, I'm very prepared to try as much as I can to respect the committee when the committee calls me. Almost all the time, I change meetings. Now, on Friday, we are raising it. I better say it now. Already on Friday, I am meeting the university vice chancellors, the college principals, the student formations, and the labor movement for the whole day to consult on the report on student funding. The question that Honorable King is asking, when am I giving the report? I'm consulting now with the report. Once I've finished consultations and I've gone back to cabinet, and I'm starting on Friday, because I've been given 2 months to go back to cabinet by latest early December, I will then come back and say, once cabinet, because this matter is before cabinet, once cabinet has then finalized its decisions, I'm more than happy then to come and share that with the portfolio committee. But for now, the process of cabinet is going on, and that's the responsibility of the executive. And once we are through with that, we are then going to come back and actually brief you. So the issue then, that the best thing that we should normally do is to give each other enough time to consult and engage, and even find common times to actually do certain things to the satisfaction of yourselves as a committee. It's not out of disrespect that one has got prior engagements. Because a week or so ago, I did not know that there was going to be a portfolio committee in the afternoon, for instance, on this day. So it's not out of that, but I always try my best that I oblige to it. It's similar to SCOPA. When SCOPA wanted a report from me, I couldn't say, give us 2 to 3 weeks to complete these internal processes, so that there would not have been a need to ask SCOPA to say, just keep this report until we finalize due process. And I hope that you will understand, Chair, out of respect for actually accounting to Parliament, but also requesting that also you understand the processes that also we've got to go through as the executive, and also the kind of commitments also that we have. As I say, I'm not suggesting that you also do not have commitments. Now, that is what I can actually say in response to this. Honorable Mashasi, you are asking an important question and raising an important issue about the capacity of our TVET colleges. That's what preoccupies me every day. We have got fairly extensive interventions we are embarking upon to improve capacity of TVET colleges at various levels. And we are doing this, by the way, with no new money in our hands. I've had no new money for TVET colleges since 2013, if you ask me. I was minister then. Literally no new money, except money from the fiscals linked to the increases, and there's also been cuts, huge cuts. So we are to, but despite that, just to give you a quick idea, which is already contained in the report that acting DG is giving. We have been working for years now on improving financial management capacity in colleges, even worked with SICA to assign us people who were acting as CFOs in the colleges. NEFAS management. NEFAS is fairly new in colleges. It was introduced by myself as the minister in 2010. There was no capacity in TVET colleges to manage NEFAS. Which assigned people specifically to work with colleges to increase capacity. There's a big difference now, but there are still enormous challenges. Curriculum transformation. We are extensively, the centers of specialization that we are talking about are essentially about curriculum transformation. The new trade test centers, more than 30 that we've introduced, is part of building the capacity of TVET colleges. Lecturer development. The fact that when I was first appointed as minister in 2009 to set up this Department of Higher Education and Training, there was not a single university in this country which had a dedicated TVET lecturer qualification program. We now have 10 universities, 8 of which have already implemented those. So we have done a lot. If the committee feels that at some stage they may want us to talk about specifically the very legitimate issues that Honorable Mahlatsi is raising on the TVET colleges, how far we are, what are the challenges in terms of capacity building, we are more than happy to do so. So I hope, Honorable Boshoff, also you get covered in the sense that we are raising issues that you were raising this morning that I have not been briefed about, even around financial and fiscal, whatever. And I am happy that at some stage I come back, after then having had this discussion with my senior management, to go through with the fine comb of the findings of the Auditor General. And I must say that I do appreciate all the issues that you are raising as honorable members and engagement. And on my side, I'm prepared to do my best that I actually address these things, provided, of course, they are raised in a constructive manner, Chair, as I'd actually indicated in relation to one member who I felt that was not raising matters in a constructive manner. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Nzimande. We definitely appreciate the responses and some of the, in fact, on my side, more so the inputs that you gave at the start of the meeting. Due to time constraints, Minister, we've had to split the day into two. You know, I think you'd understand that the FFC, the AGSA, given the magnitude of our portfolio, I mean, they took up the entire morning. And so we had then the afternoon to deal with the department's report, and that is why we spread it out in the manner in which we did. We had hoped we would get through the first session quicker so that we could afford, you know, ourselves more time to engage maybe with yourself. However, due to time constraints and again, due to the magnitude, in fact, of the issues in our sector, we did not achieve that. But I think it's very important, honourable members and colleagues, that you know, the challenges that face the sector really need us to be robust in our oversight, but also be committed to the role that we play in terms of execution and the implementation of the plans. I mean, there are concerns that are coming out of the reports which speak to planning, which speak to implementation, which speak to remediation. We can't be incurring the same type of challenges year in and year out. And there is definitely progress in certain aspects. There are, really exciting projects that are coming, in relation to, for example, the two universities. And we're happy to hear that the reports on their feasibility will soon be ready. And we look forward to engaging with that. But my point is, honourable members and colleagues, what I always say in our meetings, particularly with universities and colleges, university and college leadership ministers, that you know the magnitude of the role that this sector ought to play in contributing to the livelihood of citizens, in addressing poverty, unemployment, and inequality, in bringing about social justice, in shaping the development of our country, it really needs us, all of us, to operate in good faith and to play our part. You know, we all need to play our part, and playing our part in as robust as we are, maintain the decorum that needs to be, and commit. I really want to stress commit to the role that we as separate, and Kabo, Ms. Komape from the AGSA minister earlier on spoke about strengthening the accountability ecosystem. you know, ensuring that the department and the ministry plays its part in terms of holding the entities accountable before we come in, and so that we don't encroach in terms of, you know, the remit within our various roles in terms of accountability. Us have playing our part and being afforded the space to play our part as Parliament, the AG, you know, being afforded to play their part as the AGSA. And I think, you know, how she really stressed the importance of this accountability ecosystem and the various players within it really coming to the fore and playing their part was so important, and it's something that I think should be a key takeaway from our engagement today. Minister, we will continue as a committee to share with your office and the department in advance the committee program, and you know, we look forward to your office sharing with us preferable dates where you are available. I mean, the committee sits on a Wednesday, it sits on a Friday. If it means we need to ship certain items to a Friday to accommodate you, we are more than willing to do so, because I really think it's important that we have more engagements with yourself, so that we are not put in a situation where we have to give members 2 minutes each in order for us to have this important moment of engaging with yourself. But thank you so much, Minister, and we will continue our engagements with colleagues from the department. Thank you.
Yeah, bon, Minister.
Thank you very much. Mr.
Sorry, Chair, I wanted just to correct Minister that it's not a block on the head, it's head on the block. thank you very much.
It's long, Minister.
Comrade, man.
No, this is not the first time. The last time you said you have a device that can check blood in the alcohol and not alcohol in the blood.
We work hard, man. It's cattle, you know. Now, Baruna once said they would. They are driverless cars that are passing on by here, you know.
Thank you, Honourable Isier, for that ad break. Thank you very much. Honourable members, let us continue with the briefing that we are receiving. Mr. Kearns, I think you're on slide 68, if I'm not mistaken. And really, again, want to, you know, appreciate the cooperation by members in this, you know, really unstructured way that we've had to have this session, and really appreciate your cooperation in that regard. Mr. Kearns?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think this slide basically just speaks to the impact on the operations through the financial statement. And I think I want to express that we've really put measures in place to prevent overspending, and those pertain to weekly, monthly review of our spending to ensure that we don't over and also underspend in our operations. But we also identify that there are economic pressures that we are dealing with, and I think there are slides further on in this presentation which we will touch on some of these pressures that we have. Slide, please. Slide. Thanks. This current slide just gives an indication of the funding requirements for the department and its entities in the 23 financial MTF. And I think it gives an indication of what we expressed in the 22 E&E throughout to 2024-25 financial year. And this is per economic classification, as you can see. I think to note is the transfers and subsidies, which we will have a slide which comes up next, which explains how a rundown of these transfers and subsidies per these institutions. Slide. And so you can see also there, if you can look at the 22-23 financial year, right up to the 24-25 financial year, that's how it constitutes for the entities that we have set aside, planned for the MTEF. Chair, and then you can go to the next slide. The next slide is basically just a cost pressure, more work in progress, I think, Chair, of what we've identified of funded, unfunded priorities that we really have placed under each and every program. Now, what you see in this slide contains basically just a high level indication of what we've identified in the various programs. So the few slides that's going to follow will give perspective to each one of these programs. Though I must add, I'm not going to go into detail of all of these because, like I said, these are priorities that we've identified per program, and I'll just touch on one or two of it. In program one, you can see most of these pertain to IT and technological requirements. You can see that it's enterprise systems, architecture, cloud archiving and backups. They constitute the bulk of it in program one. Slide. Also, yeah, thank you. Program two, we have also identified, and you can see there, it also mainly pertains to the career development, which constitutes the biggest portion of that need was identified, but can also see clearly the other items that have been listed there. The next slide. So also for program three, I think the NISFAS administration is also a priority that we've identified. The following slide is also for the TVETs, which indicates the increase in enrollments. And the next slide, 78, I'm not going to go through because it's just basically gives you a breakdown of for the unfunded priorities for under TVET. The next slide, yeah, that's for the one. Program five is for identified. You can see focus on artisan development and also World Skills, which is an annual event that we participate in internationally. Program six, which is the last one, is for CET, and there you can see the main constitution there is the increase in CET enrollment, which we identified. Now, Chair, just on all of these that we have listed there, we were of the view that we have listed these priorities unfunded, and we are going to then list them in terms of priority and also see what constitutes the top 10 probably of these projects. And then we've embarked on certain programs as to how we're going to fund some of these programs. There's really a myriad of what we have looked at, including donor funding, partnerships with government institutions, even looking at private sector participation in some of these unfunded mandates. The next slide is pertaining to irregular expenditure. The next few slides. For the year under review 2021-22, there was a total amount of 2.448 million rand worth of irregular expenditure. So the closing balance for the 21-22 financial year is 6.972 million, and that reflects in the report on the page, or at page 267. And in the table there, it gives you indication of what was the opening balance. Then there's also some indication of what was already condoned, as well as what was written off by approval. And that leaves us with this 6.972, as I've indicated. So the next few slides will then capture all of these. If you add them all together, they should be coming to about to the 6.97 million that we have. The first one coming through, this was in the 17-18 to 2020-21 financial year, was an incorrect procurement process that was followed. Basically, what had happened in a scenario like that, I think it was an official who at the time was with the department and since left. In fact, if I have memory serves me right, the individual actually passed on. But it was pertaining to a procurement of communication services which this individual had embarked on without having ministry approval. And for that, we're still waiting Treasury's approval, because there had been some presentation for condonement of that illegal expenditure. The second one, item two, was also a procurement that was pertaining to catering. In fact, after the investigation, it was found this not to be irregular, and therefore it was removed from the irregular register. Item number three was also a case where there had been catering, and I think it was less than three quotations, which was obtained. That particular 2,000 rand, was, I think 2.2, was written off by approval of the Treasury. Next slide. Item number four was also a matter of legal services that was procured by an official by using a private legal institution and also not following the correct procurement process, and it amounted to 96,000. In that particular case, the individual was disciplined and charged. Item number five was a case where a repair to the computer, in fact it was a security system that was faulty, and due to emergency, the individual went to have it repaired by the company who had provided the items, and without also sourcing, which we had found to be supposed to be in three quotations system. That matter is also still in progress, is not written off as yet. Item six is also incorrect procurement process of consultancy. In this case, after the investigation, it was also found not to be irregular, and therefore that matter for 45,000 was also removed. It was written off in that case. Item number seven was also a process of during the World Skills, there was a procurement for tools, for which, as indicated there, which was the previous World Skills competition, and also again the correct procedure was not followed. In this case, also the official was charged, and that matter is also not finalized as yet in terms of writing off for condemnation. And then I think the last item, for that year, was the one for the a case where there was an appointment which was not done through the Office of the State Attorneys in terms of the State Attorneys Act, and that resulted in an irregular procurement process, and to the value of, as it stated, 3 million rand. Then the next slide is the current, which was in the current year. There were two cases. One was the expenditure pertaining to examination procurement, and it was found that at two separate occasions within that financial year, procurement for goods and services, which seems to be similar of nature, was procured, and the combined effort of that was more than what the quotation amount exceeded, and therefore it was deemed to be irregular. That matter is still not also finalized. And the second matter actually is a link with the previous one of number eight, with this procurement for the state attorneys. It was just an extension of that same service. Under fitness and wasteful, there was none for the financial year, as also can see in the annual report, Chairperson. I think it takes us to the last section, which is the action plans, the audit action plans, Chairperson. We have an audit action plan. I think the acting DG in his opening remarks indicated to the fact that we have set a target date for 31 January 2023 to finalize all actions. As you know, we draft and compile a schedule for all of the matters stemming from the audit report in the audit action plan, of which the management has to, and the responsible managers has to respond and monitor the progress to ensure that we finalize all these matters at the end of January. And I've given sort of a browse down of the reporting dates that we've identified up until the end of January. But I think the essence of it is to address these issues that pertains to internal control deficiencies, identifying what are the root causes, and especially what actions do we implement to avoid these repeat findings, and also how do we deal with accountability, liability, and consequence management going forward, Chairperson. I think the next slide, so the penultimate slide, is just also an indication of a spread of the summary of the findings for the various programs that we have, and it gives an indication of the number of findings, those that have been completed or resolved, unresolved findings, and also on the far side, also an indication of repeat findings as they are. I think the last slide is not really, second last slide. You can skip this one. Yeah. So as it pertains to the improvement on the audit plans, I think we've listed some of the actions that we've really instated to see how we deal with these matters. I think Minister had also alluded to that some of these audit action plans are also discussed now at the Ministerial Management Meeting, or Triple M. We also have engaged the branch heads and held them also now liable for actions, as well as the relevant managers. And we've, more importantly also for us, was to establish a forum for senior managers, which we call OPCO, where we deal with these pertinent issues on the action plan, so that we are quite briefed and abreast as to what are the actions that has taken place and also progress on it. And further issues is that we've really explored the possibility of an external membership to the risk committee, and we have developed an internal audit combined assurance model, which is a combination actually of your internal and external audits, so that we can have combined efforts in dealing with these audit issues. That concludes my portion. Thank you, Chair, Honourable Chair, and members.
Mr. Mvalo.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee. I should think we have completed our presentation, Honorable Chair, as well as members of the Portfolio Committee. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mvalo. Thank you very much, Mr. Kearns. Honorable Members, that then brings us to the end of the Department's presentation on their report. I see Honourable Itzia's hand has already gone up. May I please note other members would seek to engage? Honourable King, Honourable Mananiso. I'll take the others as they come. Honourable Itzia.
Thank you very much, Chair. As I said earlier, some of my questions I have asked them. Luckily, the acting DG today is the DDG of the skills branch. He would have had me in the morning, now to the minister, of this thing called the integrated information management system. But really, you can't say we don't need it. It is clear. Would have given him the politics behind it. For me, it puts measures in place for us not to experience or to mitigate against criminal elements that might happen, where service providers claim that learners are attending Gandhikibone who are signing registers for them, fraudulently defrauding the state, with that thing, you are able to mitigate against. Two, with the same thing, you are able to mitigate against sitter hopping and some service provider sharing information of these learners, probably even sharing registers. But because what happens at services sitter, construction sitter doesn't know. What happens at both of these MICT, WNR, Agri sitter, they don't know. So it opens an enabling environment for our sitters to be defrauded and the state. And therefore, we are begging you, we are asking you, I don't know what to say, I don't know what's the correct English way to say that. We are expecting you to immediately start the process of getting this thing. Maybe if you don't understand exactly how this thing should work or how we're proposing that it should work, you can give us a call, we'll just explain it to you, because here we've got issues of time. Two, the TVET budget allocation has not been increasing, obviously resulting in a decline in budget allocation as the percentage of the DHET budget, whilst actual allocation has not been increasing in real terms. The AG report reflects the poor financial management, DDG Zungu, with 90% of the financial statements not credible before audit. And this comes, Chair, after the department would have entered into an agreement some few years back with SAIPA, South African Institute of people who are auditors, something like that. I think it's SAIPA. But still it says there 90% of the financial statements are not credible before audits, with infrastructure grant underspending, which areas within the TVET program are identified as areas where expenditure is optimally utilized, DDG, and can the non-increase in the funding of the TVET program also be influenced by weak financial management? So here, DDG, it means we are asking you to develop a program as soon as possible to take all these CFOs of these TVET colleges into some workshop where you will sit down with them and agree on what is it that you must do to make sure that the final product we submit as a first draft to AG makes sense. It's in line with what AG wants. So what does this mean? It means our internal audit, both at the department and at these entities, must also be taken through a workshop to understand what is it that needs to happen. Chair, when AG says annual financial statement, we've got issues of performance data that you are submitting, financial data you are submitting, and all of these things. What does this mean? It means, Chair, throughout the year, our internal audit has not been efficient. They've not identified issues that they're supposed to correct on time. So that is why we are now asking DDG Zungu, play an active role, bring SACPO, bring the principal, bring CFOs under one roof, explain to them how this makes the department look bad. The department, their target is not for, they are not targeting clean audit. They are targeting next to clean audit, unqualified. They always come with unqualified findings. Why? It's because they probably think clean audit is heaven.
They can't target heaven. They will not get there. You know? So let's get individual branches within the department doing what they're supposed to do. And on this one, DDG Zungu, I follow Chairperson, the work that they're doing in the TVET sector. And I think that they're doing well. Since DDG Zungu was appointed there, looking at different institutions, the responses that, you know, his unit or his branch embarked on, I think they're doing well. But I don't think it's enough, DDG Zungu. Hence, I'm asking you that maybe let's look at these suggestions that we're bringing to you so that we improve on the annual. The AG is not happy with the quality of the annual financial statements that we're bringing. What is the implication of the increase of only the university programs in the DS allocation on the MTSF targets and the NDP targets with high targets for TVET and CET? And does this budget allocation represent a departure from policy imperatives of the department, thus weakening the policy budget nexus? Is the increase in budget allocation for university education warranted as the prioritization reflects a shifting of planned increases in other programs for the university education program as other programs decline? And what is the impact of such prioritization as TVETs, CETs and CETAs quantitatively support many citizens, particularly the youth with the current levels of unemployment? And is this budget allocation really sustainable to address the level of youth unemployment and lack of skills development opportunities? When we go to performance, FFC analysis observes a significant growth in allocation to skills development and CET programs and TVET programs. Is the growth significant relative to the growth of university education? And is this significant growth in real terms after considering inflation? And what impact can such growth have in real terms? How objective is the reason provided by the FFC on TVET number of students enrolling at TVET colleges annually at 74% being due to lockdown and disruption? Recognizing that university targets have exceeded their target, can this decline be linked to the lack of ICT facilities for TVET students to continue with the learning under COVID conditions, which is further reflected by the number of TVET college students completing N6 qualifications annually at 21%? And is the FFC of the view that adequate efforts were undertaken to ensure continued learning TVETs in the TVET space? Sorry, Chair. Department? You know, on the 28th of September, which was last week or so, 2 weeks back, we had a meeting with the construction city. And we indicated that all CETAs have got their own. We raised this thing earlier on, but want to raise it to the department. All CETAs have their own bursary schemes, meaning we have 22 if you include the NSFAS. And each CETA has its own credibility or criteria of eligibility. And at that meeting with NSFAS, NSFAS raised the concern that CETAs administer their own bursaries and whilst there is NSFAS. So there's a duplication here. What is the department? I'm not sure whether this one falls under the university branch or not, but acting DG, I think I will point it to you. What is the department going to do, making sure that
one country, one plan that we are running with, also has here one country, one scheme. One country, one bazaar scheme here. All these cities must find ways of putting their bazaars under a budget here and put it under NSFAS for distribution. So NSFAS, when we're there again, they told us that this university's chair may be defrauding the state in essence, because some learners, poor as they are, they can't get allowances, because when NSFAS wants to pay, they realize that, you know, one, or at least one point where their systems are working, they're able to check and to verify that there's one, this is one student being claimed by two or three universities, and therefore we can't pay an allowance because we don't know where this child is. And it creates an impression that indeed there might be some form of corruption happening from these universities themselves. So the department were asking you, acting DG, to consider instituting a serious forensic investigation into this thing, and how much may we may have lost into this thing. I mean, if NSFAS systems were completely off, they were not working, NSFAS would have been paid, or they might have been paid other learners before, or they might still be paying other learners. How much the forensic must look at, how much or which institutions are involved in this, how much have we lost as a country, as a department to this, and how much can still be, you know, got, how much can we still get back from this thing? Department, NSFAS opened registrations, Comrade Chair, on the 28th of September as well. When we were there last week, they tried to run a live registration, were not impressed. There were certain things we're not happy with. We are asking the department, working together with NSFAS, to finalize that thing, because reality is that there may be hundreds of thousands of learners, of students, potential students, who may be frustrated by the system as it is. We're asking the department to work together with NSFAS to make sure that our learners, they are not frustrated further by the administration hiccups we saw when we were there. That scheme is extremely important to many families here, many of whom deserve that thing, because they would have been excluded in the mainstream economy by the policies of the apartheid government, yeah, and they've not recovered. It will not, they will not recover today or tomorrow. But so we need that thing to happen. I'm happy, Chair, towards conclusion, I'm happy that the minister would have said he will sit with management and look at that horror movie that was presented, what was it, in page, on page 25 of the AG. we're asking the department indeed to give us a feedback on those things, because that thing indeed is a horror movie. Elegy, wrong turn. It's bad. It's a serious horror movie where some deceased learners are being paid. You don't know. It might be a what do you call this thing? A criminal networks work. It might be that all the accounts that these learners are being paid to, you know, they've been opened by a certain group of people. All these accounts of this 10,000 people are everywhere, might have been opened by certain people and not these learners.
So they were not playing. Again, forensic investigation, and in-depth forensic investigation must be open. We ought to know, because, Chair, I was just counting only on the 10,000. That's about 13,000 something. If you count it, it's almost 300 million that we might have been losing every year, or at least under the year under review. 300 million, Chairperson. You know, 300 million, we could be paying for more than 10,000 learners, students at mainstream universities here. Therefore, that thing is not a, or we could be paying towards historic debt and freeing other learners who can't find jobs because universities are holding on to their degrees. So we're asking for a serious forensic investigation to look at that horror movie of page 25. Terms of reference must be clear. Find out what happened here. Find out what happened there. Find out what happened here. Find out what happened there. So we are not playing. We want that forensic investigations to have been started as soon as possible. And thank you very much, Chairperson. You are appearing on my video.
Thank you, Honorable Litier. Honorable King. Okay, Chairperson. So my first one would be on what the FFC presented in terms of the new funding model that we're still waiting on needs to be introduced by 2023. So I just needed to find out from the department in terms of this being realistic that it could be implemented by 2023, considering that in the report as well, they also mentioned that the minister will still have to present this report to the cabinet by November 2022. So I just need to find out if that would be realistic. Then the white paper on the CETAs, ring fencing, their bursaries, and letting it being administered by NSFAS is very clear on that. So I just wanted to find out, since the bursary scheme came into effect, has the NSFAS Act ever been amended? Are there any plans to amend this Act? Then also, the Auditor General was very clear on the recommendations. It also, she was clear on the Audit Action Plan. We've noted that was highlighted, but the concern is, should then be raised is, if there are no proper implementation of internal processes, if irregular expenditure is not managed and curbed, if we avoid material irregularities, we will not really see the return on investment realistically, because the Auditor General would overshadow what is actually happening. As the Minister alluded, there's good things that are taking place. So it basically, to me, comes down to the point that at some stage, we also need to clamp down heavily on DIET, on their oversight role in terms of ensuring that the entities and themselves are performing correctly. And so I would mostly put the blame on the department itself for not effectively ensuring that mandate is carried through. I agree with the integrated system by the FFC, because that is long overdue to ensure that we've got sustainability, the standardization in the various sectors of the PSET, and that things operate smoothly. Then I also would like to know, various universities have ombudsmen. So during this period under review, have the department received any reports from ombudsmen according to queries that was being lodged by various university councils or issues that have been occurring? And I'm mindful that I'm talking also to the effect of the UCT matter. The implementing agents approved to assist DIET with student housing infrastructure. I would just like to get an understanding which implementing agents or implementing agents were then appointed and at which cost, and if that can be given to the committee for us to go through. Also, when it comes to the NQF Amendment Bill, today it is still sitting with the President's office. I would just like to find out what measures has been put in place to engage the presidency in ensuring that we proclaim that bill
so that we are in a step in the right direction to ensure that we've got a proper bill in front of us to ensure proper skill development and a framework is actually signed into law. Because at this stage, with the president not proclaiming that law, we are actually the one master skills plan which is proposed might not actually be that effective as well. Then it comes to the remuneration of vice chancellors. So there's a report that was commissioned, and it was supposed to be available by the end of March 2021. I just want to find out, has this report been presented yet to the department? If yes, can we then have that report as well, as a matter of urgency, I would say? And also the reasons for the delay if it has not been presented to the department. When we look at Project Steering Committee that was appointed in April 2021 to oversee work on a feasibility study for the two new universities, I've asked a parliamentary question, and the response was basically, and I quote, realistically, we cannot afford new universities given the competing needs when considering South Africa's development trajectory. And I do know in that response, it was also stated that they spoke to National Treasury. So at this stage, I would like to know the cost of the feasibility study, how much that will amount to, and also when exactly will we get this comprehensive report on the two new universities. Then also in your report, there's the issue of UNISA, but I'm not specifically going to go on the UNISA issue. But the issue was that UNISA was then put in charge of the SAUSA's 2021-2022 budget that was afforded to them. And I would just like to know if we can have the financial outcome of the budget of SAUSA and how they've managed their expenditure in this regard. Okay, so at one stage, if we can recall that the universities, that when we had to cover the shortfall of NSFAS, we had to take from TVET College infrastructure grant. I just need to find out how has that had an impact in terms of the infrastructure development of TVET colleges when that money was transferred over to NSFAS. And then the last one is, what plans are in place to ensure that the National Artisan Moderation Body and also the World Skills South Africa and Artisan RMPL are actually brought into voted funds in order to show that they have meaningful input and are measurable in the long run to ensure that skills development is effectively coordinated. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honourable King, Honourable Mananiso, followed by Mahlatsi and Sibiya. I had seen Honourable Chira's hand up earlier on. I don't see it now. But Honourable Mananiso, you may go ahead in the meantime.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. And let me welcome the presentation. And as well, one would want to indicate that in some of the issues I've been covered by Honorable Litsie, and my emphasis is that the department must ensure that they strengthen their internal audit so that at least some of the risk management issues can be mitigated at that particular time before the AG time. Chair, I just want to refer straight to slide 9 in terms of the presentation, 8 of 13 complete. Can we be taken in confidence specifically on what is pending or the status quo with regards to that particular slide? And on the UNGAP program, Chairperson, I think as this particular portfolio committee, we've been emphasizing the issue of not leaving anyone behind, more especially on issues of your race, sex, and racial nationality and other issues and your demographics. I think as much as they managed to tell and indicate that there's a black women who have benefited 55. I think there's an omission in terms of how many youth and people with disabilities. So I just want to employ the department to actually be consistent when they are giving us statistics in terms of the beneficiaries, to say they need to be precise on giving us the demographics from start to finish in each and every program. Chairperson, on the issue of 249 CET lectures trained, can we get the demographics and as well locations in terms of where are these particular people located in terms of your province and regions, so that we must be able to check if really we're not leaving other colleges behind. I must as well acknowledge and appreciate, Chairperson, the inclusion of entrepreneurship and as well the digital skills. I think it's one of the things that we are applauding under the your TVS, that it's something that it's actually going to assist all those who've been attending TVET for soft skills, that at least now they would have a digital skill and entrepreneurial skill as well to advance their development. Chair, on slide 10, there's an indication in terms of international scholarship program. I just want to get sense and reasons on why do we have 20 dropouts of students there. Perhaps we need to be taken in confidence. Is it because of finances or what? I just need some clarity. Chairperson, on slide 12, work-based learning program, 32 trade test centers in our public TVET. I just want to check with the department that do they have a standard MOU for all the employers who are actually housing this particular student? And if not, what is the guide for those who are going for apprenticeship? On slide 13, I just want to verify if we still have the certification backlog, because we can see that at least there's work that has been done to ensure that we know we achieve that zero backlog certification of ours as the portfolio committee. So I just want us to take us in confidence with regard to that if they're still outstanding. The other thing, Chairperson, I think earlier on somebody alluded in terms of some of the targets not being smart. I think, and Honorable Yabuan said to the members here, maybe the department is biting more than what they can chew. So I think as they review their targets, they need to ensure that they are able to, you know, target what they can achieve within the time frame of the annual period. Because of this thing of saying that you'll target 18 and do 10, and while you know that you don't have the capacity to do that, it's very worrisome, and it shows that there's real lack of proper project management in our institution. So we need to ensure that we deal with that issue so that we find ways of doing what we have to do at a particular time that we have actually timed ourselves within. So, Chair, I think they need to make sure that they actually have a program of action specifically with what has been given to them as the remedial work for the department to actually deal with issues that are not properly done in the institution. I think the other thing issue that I want to get sense on, Chairperson, is with regards to the vacant posts. How soon can those particular posts be filled? And if there's a plan already, can they send to us specifically with time frames in terms of when are they going to ensure that all those particular vacancies are being filled? Chairperson, I think what we can say from whatever that we got as a presentation today, we need activists in this department, people that would not be reactive but be responsive in terms of dealing with issues as it when they arise. For instance, Chair, I want to indicate as well that this is very the concerning factor, the issue of that you would have infrastructure management problems on the basis that people, they cannot properly write the specific codes when it is an audit period. It is very worrisome. I think there should be an induction in terms of how these particular property assets are being classified so that people can use specific codes as it when they do this particular reporting. Chair, I think on the issue of the university education program, there's more work that needs to be done, and we hope that as the department is our custodians of service delivery in terms of higher education and training, they will make sure that they cover those who are mostly the poor that we need to assist, and they must make sure that as well that people who are middle class, actually, they are being given attention as they deserve and not being left behind in terms of this particular opportunities. Slide 22, I just want an indication with regards to policy in languages, status quo per institution, so that at least we are able to get sense in terms of whether the department is on course with regards to ensuring that there's transformation in our institution. Chair, on slide 30, I think one must say that we're noting that the department is actually doing work, and I think in this particular slide, they need to, as they do review, they must just prioritize what they didn't do previously. They must not come with new targets because there's a work that needs to be done. I think on TVET colleges as well, we just want to check if there's backlog of the certification. On issues of TVET, we cannot say much about that they should improve in terms of good governance standards. That one, it must not be compromised. I agree with Honorable Lithia that perhaps they need to have some sort of workshop or summit where everybody would just speak to say and actually exchange best practice in terms of how to deal with issues that has to do with management, leadership and governance in the institution. So they need to make sure that they work hard on that. Chairperson, we cannot say much about issue of skills development programs. There is a need that our skills development sector work for our people, nothing else. I'm very disappointed as well about the CETs. CETs are not given the attention that they deserve, and Ntatemvalo, I would want to request you and your team to make sure that this particular program 6, it becomes, you know, the entry point in terms of all your discussion as you work in the department. So please give it the necessary attention as it deserves, because of this is the only sector that actually caters for 35 and above people that are not being catered by any other entities. So please make sure that you do the right thing in terms of planning and executing everything. And with regards to the CET check, I'm happy about the specifics in terms of challenges that they have identified, issues of space, issues of capacity and everything. Can in future, they should just give us the program of action in terms of those specifics that they have identified as challenges, and as well the time frame in terms of when are they going to ensure that they will deal with all these particular issues as they have actually indicated them on this particular presentation. Chair, one would want to say to the department, at least with regards to some of the reports and targets and other targets being overachieved, they need to do more, work hard, and ensure that we build the South Africa that we want to see us living in it. The poor, the rich, and you know, the young and the old enjoying the gains of democracy. So, Ntatemvalo, lona le team it is important that you note gore mosebetsi wa lona ga o bona mare kopa le berekeng go tlala seatla le tsaetsa half of compliance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mananiso. Honorable Mahlatsi.
Thank you very much, Chair. I have very few questions. One, title of the AG report, in as far as the performance of the department, has always been internal controls. I just want to find out from the department, Chair, in terms of financial management and risk management, the state of capacity of the department within these two units, are they capacitated enough to ensure that there is maximum work done in ensuring that the internal controls are put at the center? Two, of course, we're dealing with the BRRR, but most probably at this point, there should have been audit action plan that has been put in place. How is it monitored? And whether the department, based on that audit action plan, has it been able to produce positive results in making sure that your irregular fructus and wasteful expenditure, that there is they are able to recover the loss? And if they have been able to recover the loss, how much has been recovered versus what has been on the irregular expenditure? And how far are they in terms of the status of the action plan? What have they achieved so far? Maybe in percentage form, if they're able to do so. I would also want to speak to the state of staff complement. I think Honorable Manenis has covered that. It is the vacancy rate and the progress thereof. On TVET program, Chair, even during our quarterly reviews, TVET program was not doing well. How do they intend to deal with this matter? And what are the interventions given the poor performance of TVET over and above issues of infrastructure? I think Honorable Wisilia has not mentioned.
No, it was Honorable Sibiya.
Yes. How have they been able to...
Sorry, Honorable Matlat. Honorable Sibiya, please just to check your device from time to time. Thanks, Honorable Matlat.
Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of TVET program, how have they been able to... What are the interventions to make sure that TVET program is able to expedite its performance and make sure that they do achieve the intended targets that they have set for themselves? On Ishia, the total percentage in terms of performance of the department is at 84, Chair. But when you look at the, you know, when we deal with issues of performance, I always like to compare it with, you know, your budget allocation, your performance, and your audit outcome. Is the department relatively happy with this particular outcome at 84%? Because to me, it's not extremely bad, but it's not good, because we should have been at 100%. Themselves as the department, do they see this as good performance? If yes, what will inform that? If no, what is it that is going to improve generally? On finance again, Chair, part of the total budget of the department, 80% goes to transfers to universities, CETs, your TVETs, including your AGTs. But 80% goes to universities, and the rest is shared amongst others. Now, with the chunk of the money going to universities, do they see value for money in terms of the performance of this particular university in as far as expenditure is concerned? And if yes, how do they locate, how do they measure that particular success? On the issue of finance again, on the under expenditure, I just want to find out how much has been surrendered to Treasury in the year under review.
and how much have they been able to roll over? In percentage form, I'll be very happy if they will be able to respond to that. On CETA's chair and all other entities, but what is it? What is the monitoring tool that the department is utilizing to measure performance of CETAs inclusive of universities? And what type of interventions has the department put in place, given the bad outcome that we are getting from the AG, especially in relation to CETAs? How are they monitoring their performance? And what tool are they using to monitor that performance? And given that there are shortfalls and gaps, how have they been able to close those gaps? The last part, Chen, is around the planning of the department. It goes without saying that when we do these APPs, as I've indicated earlier, we have set these targets for ourselves. You have set these targets yourselves as a department. And as you navigate through the year, you have seen that some of the targets you have not been able to achieve. Have they been, accommodated in the new, in the current financial year? And whether do you see it, or if they have, do they think that given their inability to achieve them then, will they be able to achieve them now in the current financial, though it's not under review as per the discussion that is on the table now? But you just want to find out, given that you are unable to, to provide services to 10 people last financial year, have you been able to accommodate that in the new financial year so that you are able to see that there will be nobody who will be left behind in terms of your planning? And lastly, Chair, the manner in which the department does its planning is a clear indication that the same APP of the previous years is similar to the current APPs. And that on its own is clear indication that they do not do a proper analysis and assessment of the work that they have done previous years, so that they can actually relook and reshape their targets and indicators so that they are able to achieve what they want to achieve as intended as intended output. What type of analysis do they make on their APP so that we are able to see that at least having looked at the AG report of the previous financial years and the current one, they are able to make those significant changes in order to achieve what they want to achieve? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mahlatsi. Honorable Sibiya.
Thanks, Chairperson. It's nice here. Maybe I will be kicked out because we have to. Thanks for your presentation. Regarding construction sector, what are the amounts involved in the material irregularities in the National Schemes Fund and construction sector? And did the department respond to the construction sector follow-up letter from the Auditor General? And the other one, regarding universities, out of 25 universities, only 11 have received findings on compliance with legislation. The non-compliances identified related mainly to the universities not having the required processes in place for the members of staff to declare their conflicts of interest. Mbuzo, what is the main difficulty in relation to the declaration of conflicts of interest? The last one, in relation to slow investigation and slow implementation of consequence management, why is the Auditor General identifying slow responses from the department, and what consequence management can the department report in its entities and in the department? I think it's a question.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sibiya. I don't see Honorable Chira on the platform. So that will bring us then to the end of our questions. Mr. Mvalo, those are then all the questions and comments from members. I think some of the comments, recommendations that the Secretariat of the Committee, I hope, has acknowledged as recommendations coming out of this particular process. Some of which I think, you know, my thinking, honourable members, is that as we reflect on the work that we have done, we will begin to shape what else it is that we need to do. And that should already begin to shape the plans that the department will then present to us next year. You know, often I think one of the greatest concerns we have is that we are given the time, the structuring of time, and when certain things happen, particularly as we lead up to, for example, when you present to us the performance plans, it just seems as though doesn't really afford us an opportunity to really influence the process. But I think from here, from this process here, as we reflect on our performance, it should already begin to shape our planning as we go into next year. So, I mean, I really hope that colleagues in the department are attentively listening and reflecting on how we can better plan for the next year and take really some of the key recommendations and interventions that are being posed by members. But there are a number of questions and comments and clarity seeking questions that are coming from members that we'd like you to respond to. So, Mr. Mvalo, I'm going to hand over to you and your team at this point to respond. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson, as well as Honorable Members of the Committee. Well, indeed, there are a number of questions, and we appreciate as well the wisdom, some advices that you normally get when you meet with the Portfolio Committee. Because in each and every Portfolio Committee session, I should think we grow and grow and grow. And Chairperson, you're correct to say that some of the things that are arising out of this session are going to be quite very pivotal in our planning for the next financial year, of which we as the department, we have already started that process internally, planning for our annual performance plan for 2023-2024. So now with all what you are getting from the Portfolio Committee, I should think this has come very much timely for us as we are planning annual performance plan for 2023-24. So what we'll be doing, Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee, I will invite my colleagues in the department. I won't try to paraphrase or phrase the questions as they've been asked, but I can say that the questions as they've been raised, they are touching almost each and every branch of the department. So we shall then allow all the DDGs, the acting DDGs, as well as other officials representing DDGs who are not here. Perhaps if you will allow me, Chairperson, to start with the acting DDG for planning, Mr. Mgiba. So then after Mr. Mgiba, then I'll invite Dr. Lewin from the university branch. After Dr. Lewin from the university branch, I shall invite DDG Zungu from the TVET Education. And then after DDG Zungu, I shall invite DDG Futshane from the CET Education. And lastly, if is there anything from my acting DDG for corporate services, Mr. Masuku, and then I'll also invite him, though there's not that much arising out of the area of corporate services. So I know there are issues about vacancies and filling of the vacancies, and perhaps he would come around that particular area. If possible as well, maybe on the process of the organogram, as we are revising the organogram within the department, you know, it's a very important work which honorable members are going to assist us in terms of reconfiguration of the department itself and dealing with a number of other issues that you have raised, especially with regard to monitoring and evaluation. Because if we look, as we started early in the morning with the commission, with the auditor general, as well as with this session, one would say the area that we really need to invest that much as the department, it is the area of monitoring and evaluation. We're having so many entities, we're having so many institutions. So we as the department, we need to have the requisite capacity so that we can really undertake the work at our disposal. So the new organogram that we are busy finalizing, it is going to be quite very critical for us in terms of most of the areas that we are raising since we started early in the morning. But then without further ado, I shall invite my esteemed colleagues in that order. Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Committee.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Good afternoon, Chair and Honorable Members, colleagues from the department that are present here. My name is Reinet Ngiba. I'm the Chief Director responsible for policy planning, monitoring and evaluation. Today in this meeting, I'm representing DDG Gasa, who could not make it to this meeting because she is abroad, also attending to other priority areas of the department. Chair, there were a few questions that were raised that relate specifically to the planning branch, particularly from Honorable Mashati. I think, let me firstly appreciate, Chair, that the observation as made by Honorable Mashati is correct in terms of how we plan generally as government, but specifically as a department. I think it is correct to say the APPs do seem like they look the same over the years as we develop them, but also as we plan them. I think that is not unexpected, Chair, because as you would know, planning in government is structured and is informed by a particular framework as led by the DPME, and we try by all means to align ourselves with the directives as given by DPME. But more specifically, whatever we have in the APP as targets are not thumbsucked, and are not based on ambition, but based on the medium-term strategic framework and the priorities of government in particular. So as you would note that they flow from the NDP, the MTSF, the Strat Plan, and therefore the APP. And because of that, the indicators will look more or less the same over the years, depending on implementation priorities as we implement the Strat Plan. But it is correct that as we implement the Strat Plan, from time to time, we have to do situational analysis. And it would be suicidal, Honorable Mashati, to just plan and thumbsuck whatever that is envisaged for the ensuing year without doing a proper situational analysis. I need to confirm in this meeting that the department does that on an annual basis. And that is informed by proper planning tools that we use as we undertake our planning exercises, as informed by the proper and applicable planning mechanisms that get to be used as we compile our APPs. Your SWOT analysis is one of them. PESTL, it's one of them.
And we also undertake research. The planning branch also has a unit that is responsible for research, which is used to also inform how we target and also policy areas that we deem are important as we implement the white paper, but also the priorities of government as informed by the MTSF. There may be areas of improvement as we proceed in this area, and I think the input, as Honourable Mashat has indicated, will indeed assist going forward. And broadly, also the inputs as given through comments that came through this meeting, but also through the questions that have been raised here, will also be taken into account going forward. Then the second one relates to whether as a department we're happy with the level of performance percentage-wise. And I think you were spot on, Honorable Mashat, as well on this one, to say if we compare our performance in terms of financial expenditure, is there alignment or not? And are we happy with the level of performance we at? The answer is definitely no. There's actually a room for improvement, particularly because expenditure is almost 100%, and yet we're sitting at far below 100% in terms of performance. But also, again, that is not unexpected, Chair. And I think we also have to have a common understanding in terms of how expenditure is treated in the department. We have always been saying that we are in an anomaly situation as a department because of the number of entities or institutions that fall within the ambit of the department. And that depends on funding from the department, wherein transfers is actually treated as expenditure. So 90% of our budget gets to be transferred to institutions. And in terms of our books, that's expenditure. But now, if you then want to translate that into actual performance, again, in terms of the indicators and the targets that we have, then we are found wanting. And it boils down to what I think there was also a comment where we say where an indication was made to say maybe we're biting more than what we can chew. And therefore, it is an area that we also have to look into as we engage the AG also going forward. Because it may be that the expenditure as recorded will remain like this in terms of recording it as a performance versus performance in terms of the indicators and the targets themselves. So I think the long and short of it, Chair, is that this is the area that as we plan going forward, we'll have to look into and probably, as we have done previously, separate what we call direct deliverables of the department and do proper costing accordingly and have systemic indicators and targets being dealt with differently. And this is the area we've been discussing with DPME, is an area we've been discussing with the AG, and the AG has always been advising that they are dependent on us because accountability lies with the minister, accountability lies with the accounting officer, and therefore that also cascades down to the respective branches. So I think it's an area, correctly so, Honorable Mashat, that we'll have to working together, look into it going forward, because it also dictates to the kind of indicators that we also want to see as a committee going forward. Chair, I think these are from the planning branch, I think these are the two critical areas that I will respond from my side, and then acting DG will direct if there's any other that relates to, that I've missed, that may relate to the branch. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Acting DDG, Mr. Mgiba. I should think you have eloquently expressed yourself with regard to the areas that are quite very critical raised by the committee. Can we then invite, is there anything, Dr. Lewin from the university branch?
Yeah, I'm currently not today or anymore acting DDG, but yeah. Thank you very much, acting DG, and thanks to the honourable members for a very interesting meeting and lots of quite interesting inputs as well, some of which we picked up from this morning. So I'm just going to respond on a few of those, and then if there are any missing questions that I can't answer, perhaps we can respond as a department to anything that we've missed. Just in terms of the sustainable funding model process and the MTT, I think the interest in this is obviously really important. And to say that